From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio on this Tuesday morning. We'll talk some baseball news popped up last night in a couple different ways. We'll discuss that. Talk a little NCAA basketball, just NCAA model stuff today probably as well. A little bit of a scattershot day here in the getting into the middle of the week as we'll have some guests later on in the week. Neil and I again. By our lonesome, but we'll make it through. We've done it once or 700 times by this point, so it'll be all right. On a show that's brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford, just a few days away from that Chad Kelly signing we've been telling you about. Saturday morning, 9:30 to 11 at the Oxford Exxon. Come see Chad, reminisce, tell some stories, get some autographs, and help out the Magnolia Speech School. $5 for every person that walks through the door during that time period to the Magnolia Speech School there in Jackson. So, again, how about a great cause? Come see Chad, get a 49-cent bottomless refill, maybe a lunch special, and be on your way to the Grove Bowl at, I think, 1 o'clock, something like that, is the
1 o'clock.
Time.
One o'clock is the time for the Grove Bowl, and I think it will be over at 3. I think there's a two-hour TV window, and I don't think that Matt Luke or anyone associated with Ole Miss football will ask for an extension. Admission is free. The game can be seen on ESPN. I say game. The practice can be seen on ESPNU. I'm not making fun. Chase and I had this conversation the other day. When any coach, and I do mean every coach, this is where every coach in a room would all, tell me if you disagree, they would all vote in unanimity that they would agree with the following statement. By practice 15, they're ready to stop. Not because they don't like football or any of that, but they don't want to get anybody hurt.
Well, I told you one of my just the comedy moments that I picked out was, I guess it was last year, I guess, when A.J. Brown sort of kind of got dinged up and Hugh Freeze went, nope, that's it.
We're done.
Kill the game. Game's
we are
over.
Done.
Whistle, everybody up.
If I'm Matt Luke on Saturday, I'm like, A.J., do you see that bike over there? You may or may not ride that bike. You're not playing on this field.
That bike is your area.
That bike's your area. Feel free to ride that bike for as little or long as you'd like over the next 2 hours. Please be careful. Because the reason say, you can't ask a competitive person to not compete.
Yeah.
He's going to want, there's going to be people there. They're going to put on game uniforms. They're going to start a clock. And they're going to have the people in the black and white stripes.
Those are the triggers for A.J. Brown. So.
And those things ignite the mechanism.
Yeah.
And so I tell him, you're not.
When you get off the bike, holler at Greg and he'll help you down because he's not playing either.
No.
So.
In fact, Greg, you go hold AJ's hand while they ride. Anybody who is irreplaceable, I don't risk it.
Yeah.
And I know everybody goes, but it's the spring game. Yeah, quickly, give me a recap of the 2013 spring game at anywhere. No one remembers. It's a spring game. They've become TV events because of the SEC Network and all of the money that the SEC Network produces. And the SEC Network says, hey, fellas, everyone's playing a spring game, and we're going to televise all of them because we're going to have something to talk about. But really, it's kind of gotten to that place. When you're a program like Ole Miss that is challenged in depth in some areas, you can't risk it. I'm terrified. If I'm a coach, I'm terrified of them. And I think a lot of coaches are, especially when they get this late in the deal. You've made it this far. You don't want to run the risk.
Yeah.
But it's at 1 o'clock.
The baseball game's at 2. I have a feeling a lot of people are going to turn the spring game off after an hour. Probably will switch to a different sport around 2 o'clock.
We talked to Matt today. I'm sure, Matt, this is the media opportunity where we feel compelled to ask what's the format for the game on Saturday. And Matt will do as all of his predecessors has ever done. He looked at us like, really? And we'll say, people actually want to know. And he'll basically tell us in a roundabout way that it's a controlled scrimmage, a scripted scrimmage.
It would be a sim game if it was baseball.
Yeah.
We're going to set up some scenarios and sort of kind of run through them.
Yeah.
So,
and pray nobody gets hurt.
Yeah. So there's not baseball tonight. Baseball is originally scheduled to be at AutoZone Park at 6:30. That will now be tomorrow night, Wednesday night in Memphis at AutoZone Park for baseball. As there looks like there could be a bit of a deluge at some point tonight.
Yeah, all you have to know about the weather today is the high today here is 79. The low tonight here is 35. Do the math.
There's some pressure and some fronts coming through somewhere.
I mean, it's really... That was an easy call.
You did not go to meteorology school, but you can glean that much.
If you tell me that the temperature is going to drop 45 degrees, give or take a couple of degrees, in the course of 8 hours, I'm smart enough to tell you that a front's moving through and the weather's going to get volatile at some point during that front. Putting a bunch of people in a baseball stadium in said condition is probably just not wise.
Now, if I'm Ole Miss, I hate this because it's one day less between games when you go to a state for a weekend. I leave 10 players home tomorrow. Mike won't. I would.
I would too.
Some pitchers that I just would say stay in Oxford. We'll see you on Thursday when we get back for a practice.
Because, again, fans – and I understand where fans are coming from on this. Fans are obsessed with the RPI, and I get it, and you should be. The only thing is right now you're in a position from an SEC standpoint for that to really supersede your RPI.
Of course. So, you're 20-10. I don't care what the RPI is.
It just doesn't matter. You're going to be a national seed.
It's going to be all
right. Yeah. Because if you go 20-10, you're winning games against other high RPI teams. It's going to be okay.
They don't have a series against anybody outside the top 100. So
your RPI is going to be fine. Ole Miss could have played some hardball and said, hey, look, it's either Tuesday or bust.
Now, I don't know what's in the contract. I don't know how that works.
And their relationship with Memphis and baseball and stuff is pretty good. They go play. And
it is. I still think it ends at some point relatively soon because there's going to reach a point where Memphis goes, hey, we got a new stadium. Play is here.
Yeah.
And Mike's going to say no.
Yeah, because Ole Miss's deal is they really want the prospects in Memphis to come see them at AutoZone.
Yeah, they don't want to go to Memphis's campus and play a baseball game.
No.
So that will be the end of that relationship, I think, if that ever happens.
See, I put my foot down if I'm Ole Miss and say, you want us to help you? Okay, well, every other year, you're bringing Penny and the boys to the pavilion.
Well, when they signed a football deal like that a few years ago.
And it worked. Memphis came and played at the pavilion, and there was a pretty good crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be tempted, if it ever got out of not playing at AutoZone, I'd be tempted to call UAB and go, hey, we'll come play at the Barron Stadium. Let's do that instead.
Yeah.
Why not?
I'm going to go check that place out one of these days.
It looks neat. I've never been to the downtown park.
Well, it looks neat, and the area around there, as someone who used to live in Birmingham, has been rebuilt in a way that it seems kind of cool. I'd like to kind of check it out and see for myself. What also is cool is Clark Ford. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. You get your quote. It's up to you. You can shop it if you'd like, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our family of podcasts, and let's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. Great deal, great service after the sale, everything you could want, delivery options, all of those things at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. At the end of your deal, remember to tell Corey, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any or all of the podcast, and it's $500 off the bottom line at Clark Ford and Amory.
Also, yesterday at was announced that Ole Miss is going to flip up the rotation a little bit. Ryan Rollison moving to Saturday this week against Mississippi State. Brady Feigl will throw the opener against the Bulldogs on Friday. MacArthur still on Sunday. So flip-flop, Feigl Friday, Rollison Saturday. We'll see. I could probably do pretty well in a debate class. I could go either direction. If you told me it was a good thing, if you told me it was a bad thing. The fact is Mike knows those guys better than I do, and we'll see what happens this weekend.
I'm going to guess he talked to them both before he pulled the trigger.
You think so?
I'm just guessing.
Hey, guys, be my office at 11. So here's what we're going to do. Yeah, look, might take a little pressure off Ryan. Brady has shown the ability to get deeper into games than Ryan does, so you don't immediately get into your bullpen quite as heavy. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so Brady can stay on normal rest, and he's not having to move up a day to do this as well. If you're going to pick a time to do it, you know, there isn't some huge gap in performance between the two, so it's really just interchangeable and trying to put them in the best situations possible. Brady's got to handle that Friday night difference. We'll see how that goes, especially in Starkville, when it probably, at least on Friday, is going to be a little nutty, I would assume. Ole Miss wins big. I think it'll start deteriorating over the weekend, but I think on Friday night there'll be a good crowd. And State can, you know, they've got Connor Pilkington, so you can't be guaranteed a lot of runs on Friday night. So not tough spot, but good opportunity for Brady Feigl. Some good competition there in that game. And then, again, we'll see with Ryan. Ryan just hasn't been good enough so far in SEC play. He's allowed 6 extra base hits in 3 starts. I think his ERA is up around 5 in the 3. Again, small sample size, but 3 starts in the SEC. Opponents hitting 290, 300, something like that. So, needs to be better. And he's not walking anybody, Neil. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because if you're not allowing that many runs, part of you goes, well, hey, if he's just walking some people, he'll fix that and be all right. But if you're just kind of getting hit, that's almost a little more concern for me. I mean, I know we're nitpicking. But
it might be that you're staying in the strike zone too much.
Yeah.
That you're not wild enough. I haven't seen him pitch enough up close to know whether he's getting the kind of movement he always gets. Is his stuff flat? I don't.
It's mostly just location. He's just leaving so many fastballs over the middle of the plate.
You can't do that at most any level.
Yeah. He has not spotted his fastball well at all the last few starts.
And that'll get you beat against good teams. And teams in the SEC are good. Arkansas had good hitters. Texas A&M had good hitters.
And it was his calling card, too. You know, it's what's been, like we've talked about, it's been kind of fascinating because had you said something with Ryan Rawlinson is going to be there every start, I said, fastball command. Ability to go inside, and then we'll see. The thing is, he's done it before. It's not like it's absent. He can find it again, and Ole Miss, we'll see about that.
And this might relax him a little. This might take some of the pressure off. He might get the opportunity to watch the other team hit for a night. Friday night's a different deal. When you're the Friday night starter, that's a different role. It's like being the closer. Yes, the ninth inning's the same as the eighth inning, except it's not. I mean, it technically is.
The hardest out to get is the 27th one.
And the next one before that's the 26th, and the one before that is the 25th. And for whatever reason, the 27th out, which is exactly the same as the 14th out, is a completely different out. And some people handle – this is not me saying Ryan Rawlinson can't handle pressure. I'm not qualified to say that. But some people handle pressure in different ways. Some people thrive on it. Some people don't even feel it. And some people feel it. And there's a little less pressure being the second starter.
Yeah, most people feel it. It's whether you feel it in a positive or a negative way. The really good closer is amped up in a positive way with it. And then some dudes kind of cower when they get in those positions. So, again, we'll see. Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. Some early games this week as well for State. Be aware of that. With it 2 o'clock on Saturday. And then I think the Sunday game is either at noon or 1, if I've got that right. Let me pull that up real quick. Because I'm pretty sure it's a little earlier than I thought it was when I first looked. Yes, the State games are 6:32 and 1, so fairly standard, but 6:32 and 1 this weekend. And in Starkville, it's not Super Bulldog weekend. I think there is something going on in town, but I don't think it's Super Bulldog weekend. I do not think their spring game is this week. So you at least avoid that crowd if you head down there. It's I think they've played Ole Miss on Super Bulldog weekend twice in the last few years, and it's packed for that one. It's pretty full. So anyway, story up at rebelgrove.com this morning. I did something on a Ole Miss fan that an 8-year-old named Henry Ulrich. Kind of a neat story. He lives in Illinois, from Illinois. He ran across the 2016 Home Run Derby. Kobe Bortles was in it, became fascinated with Kobe Bortles. Then he goes and Googles, finds the season, and kind of just goes from there. But about 9 months prior to this, Henry was diagnosed with the really bad end of muscular dystrophy. His dad told me on Saturday when we spoke that he's probably going to start losing some ability around 12 years old. His life expectancy is around 18 years old. And at this point, he's having a hard time kind of getting upstairs. He plays baseball, but he's noticeably slower than the other kids and different things. But He's got a heck of a personality, and he's become obsessed with Ole Miss athletics. They came the first time a year ago for a baseball series. Ross and Mike and the baseball staff did a lot to let him meet Colby, welcome him. He's got really tight with Ryan Olenek and Cooper Johnson. They came back for Vanderbilt football last fall. Cooper took him hitting in the Chicagoland area over Christmas break when he was up home for winter. The Ulrichs live about 2 hours south of Chicago, but he was at Lurie Hospital in Chicago for the day.
So they live like near Champaign, that area?
It's Bloomington, Illinois is what it is. He said it's directly basically in the middle of St. Louis, Indianapolis, and Chicago.
Okay.
Kind of in that little 2 hour window right there.
Gotcha.
So they're there. Cooper took him hitting. Then they're back this year. They did spring football. A.J. Brown, I think, gave him a practice jersey and talked Cam Newton with him. Greg Little discussed Legos with him for a little while. And then he had some cool things with the Ole Miss baseball team as well. So you can read about that at rebelgrove.com this morning. That is up. You probably need to do it over your lunch break. It's about 2,000 words, but worth your time. And there's a photo gallery linked in there that if nothing else, look at the pictures. A couple of them will get to you a little bit. There's one specifically where Ryan Olenek picked him up off the ground that kind of chokes me up a little bit when I look at it. So anyway, that's up. Great family. You can read more about them at rebelgrove.com. So we kind of get into it a little bit here on the show. I will tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com is the website to go for the Holly Springs Pharmacy with local service that delivers anywhere. When you go, either give them a call at 662-252-2321 or on their website to fill out the forms. And now they also operate G&M Pharmacy in Oxford. That is on South Lamar and also delivers local, gives you great hometown service.
The Moonlight Grahams are they'll be playing on Saturday, April the 28th at World Music Nashville in the Bellevue area at 7 p.m. They're a folk Americana band started by Ole Miss grad John McCann. Tickets are $10. That includes a digital copy of the new album. The digital download cards will be given to you when you arrive. You can buy your tickets off their Facebook page or at ticketzone.com. Make sure you get your tickets before they sell out. You'll absolutely love it. Remember, their new album, The Moonlight Grahams, is out on Spotify and iTunes. Make sure to follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you like them, spread the word. Again, the show, Saturday, April the 28th, World Music Nashville at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss the Moonlight Grahams. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With that three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
This is kind of my favorite time of the year now. The NCAA basketball thing has ended last night. Villanova wins the national title, wins by 15, 17, I don't know. They beat the crap out of Michigan. It's never overly close.
They made shots. Multiple people made shots.
The idiot that likes college baseball to the level I do, we get a bunch of just football predictions and stuff, but it's pretty lighthearted. We start doing fluff content, if you will, for a while because people are interested in it. But above all that, I get to go on Twitter now and not see the ridiculous narratives from football and basketball teams about the little engines that could and all the purity of the two main sports are done for a few months where I can decompress from the Twitter crap because, you know, they did it with Loyola for a while, did it with Kansas even if that was humanly possible for a bit. And then last night, they really tried to beat home the narrative that Villanova is a bunch of two stars that could. They have three top 100 players. They have two five-stars.
They have a lottery pick in their backcourt and another kid who's probably a first-round pick in the backcourt.
Yeah, they probably recruit better than anyone in the country from the standpoint of they find the really talented kids that don't go one and done. So credit to them, but that doesn't mean the kid can't dribble and play basketball.
No, they have the sixth man on that team, the kid who scored 31 points last night, was a Rivals 150. He was like 15 spots or so. Don't hold me to the exact number.
He's the number one player in Delaware and apparently was great in high school.
He was like ranked 15 spots ahead of Terrence Davis. People like to act like Terrence Davis was some basketball project. He was a top 150 kid. I love the narrative of on him, for example, where people say, well, you know, he should play football. Well, he was not a football prospect the way that he was a basketball prospect. His best football offer was UT Martin.
He had a great week in Mobile or Montgomery or wherever it was.
He had a really good week in where was that?
I don't remember.
It doesn't matter. One of those places at the All-Star game, and some people noticed him because he's very athletic, like most shooting guards. But, yeah, the Villanova thing, actually last night, hit the mute button and then turned it off.
Well, I was mostly talking about Twitter. I wasn't necessarily talking about the game.
I was about the damn broadcast.
Yeah, see, I never listened to a bit of the broadcast. I never turned volume on the broadcast.
How Villanova is Cinderella is beyond me. I mean, I know I'm a cynic, and I know I can be kind of a jerk, but for the love of God, it doesn't hold up. It doesn't hold up even under the slightest bit of scrutiny. It is Jay Wright is a hell of a coach.
He is.
Philadelphia is a hotbed for hoops. Villanova is smack dab in the middle of Philly, and they are recruiting all over this area where basketball is the sport. They have a pro team there called the Sixers. I mean, there's a lot there. He's recruiting at a high level. Now, here's the part, and I wrote this on the message board in response to somebody. Here's the part where you can learn from Villanova, okay? Jay Wright has built a unique culture there, where guys don't care. This is a 4- and 5-star players have bought into a culture of we're going to share the basketball, we're going to make the extra pass, we're going to find the shot, because teams at the college level can't defend 4 and 5 weapons on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can coach defense at the college level well enough. John Beilein's one of the best, and you saw it last night. You can't defend a team that has multiple weapons sharing the basketball. That's why the Warriors win a lot. The Warriors win a lot, not because Steve Kerr has some karma thing. It's because they have multiple people that are bought into a system distributing the basketball, making the extra pass, which creates open looks. Well, elite scorers with open looks make more than they miss. That's why Villanova's winning. Villanova has a culture of selflessness. Kid comes off the bench last night, gets 31. He averages 13. He was the hot hand. They kept finding him. Michigan clearly did not want Bridges and Brunson to beat them. And so they loaded up on Bridges and Brunson, and when the other dudes had open looks, they knocked it down. They're the champs.
Do you think that he recruits at the ceiling that makes that system possible?
Probably. I mean, I'm not here.
It's at least a thought in my head that if he had Knox and Bagley and those dudes and Ayton on the same floor, he wouldn't be able to pull that off the same way.
I think that's fair. Now, when people do the, can you do that down here? I don't know that those players exist in that. I don't know. And there's the depth of player that you can go get here. I don't know. I mean, if Ole Miss started recruiting a collection of high 4-star players, that would be the best they've ever recruited in the history of the program. So I don't know. Could you get those players to play selflessly together at this level? I don't know, maybe. I mean, that certainly would be the goal. But when people do the, like you said, when people do this thing about Villanova, man, they're winning with them. They're not doing one and done. No, they're not doing one and done. But make no mistake, Jay Wright recruits the one and done. Jay Wright would love to get Marvin Bagley.
Like, the tweet that threw it off of me last night was Eric Paschal, score of the last 5 points for Villanova is a Fordham transfer. Just another non-5-star doing work for Jay Wright.
Pascal was a four-star 150 kid, right?
I don't know. It is because of all this FBI stuff. They are determined that the water carriers are determined to make it not about that. No, look, teams are winning that don't have those kids, that aren't paying anybody, that aren't in the FBI barrage right now. No. This is a great 3 weeks for college basketball because the little engines are winning. They're doing it, not the other guys, not big bad Kentucky or Duke or Arizona. These dudes. That's what it is. That's all it is. It's PR for the NCAA in return for whatever favor comes with that. I don't know.
Oh, I tell you, the favor is they bring them to Indianapolis for that weekend in that football season. They do the mock thing. They take them over to St. Elmo's or whatever.
Yeah.
And they wine and dine them, and they make them feel good, and everybody scratches each other's backs, and they all carry each other's water. That's what happens. Give the NCAA some credit now. I mean, let's in all seriousness, I'm you got to respect game. The NCAA, in the face of an FBI investigation, cleared every player within 24 hours and said, hey, boys, you might be the big bad FBI, but we are not letting you mess with our tournament. This is our gold prize. You ain't touching it.
And it's been deadly quiet over the last 3 weeks.
And then they went and told all their TV partners, you ain't talking about it. You're not talking about it.
And they got a little luck with Auburn and Arizona and those teams out quick.
I was going to go a little further than luck. Somehow Arizona just didn't have – it wasn't there. Auburn had a rough night. Got those teams out the first weekend. And then got lucky where they got lucky.
Loyola.
They got lucky on the first weekend, but Maryland-Baltimore County pulled off the shocker and became the story of the whole first weekend. And then I think they played Kansas State well before they got beat. And so everybody got to, you know, do the, oh, look at those boys. That's great. What a neat story. And that carried them into the Sweet 16. And then Sister Jean and Loyola carried them through the second weekend. And everyone loves that story. And then you get to the Final Four, and well, now it's, you know, a couple of blue bloods going at each other but they caught breaks. But they also said to everybody, hey, you're not touching it. You're not touching it. Middle of a football season, a kid from Arizona gets busted doing stuff. That kid's missing six games. Not in basketball tournament. He's cleared within hours. Oh, yeah, we got to the bottom of that. Took 6 years to investigate Ole Miss football. Yet those investigators are good enough to get to the bottom of the DeAndre Ayton, Sean Miller case.
Emmert said it was very standard. They looked through some stuff. It was
in a matter of hours.
His agents had to work a little on the weekend, but that was really it. Otherwise, yeah. It was pretty normal.
Damn guardians of the game.
Here we are.
What I did love was in the Villanova locker room post-game last night, their spread provided by the NCAA, peanut butter and jelly.
I saw that.
Stop.
Just signs up everywhere inside the arena going, don't bet on it. Okay, thanks, guys.
Meanwhile, Jeffrey and Dylan.
I think you promote the freaking bracket on your website.
Like, why do you think everyone has a bracket, you morons? I mean, it's insane.
They're just testing themselves against everyone else.
Oh, my God. I credit, though. I respect the game. I really do. I respect their absolute just middle fingers in the air as they walk out with their bags full of money.
I do give Dylan credit, though, yesterday. So we're talking, and he's been a little more highly invested in emotionally than a bracket the last 3 weeks. And he goes, oh, yeah, a bracket. Hold on a second. He did one. He was in the 99th percentile and picked Villanova and Michigan in the finals.
How about that?
Completely forgot about his bracket for 3 weeks. I went, well, you would have won our pool. Cool. Congratulations. Yeah, I'm just frustrated. I'm glad it's over. Really glad it's over. Did Nance give the dude his tie last night?
I have no idea.
I'm assuming.
We can only hope.
What would you do with it? frame it in a
eBay,
a picture box.
Put it on eBay. Find some junkie who'd be willing to overpay for it.
Oh, some people would, though. Some NCAA collectors.
But here's the question.
He couldn't profit off of it.
Would he, if the kid for Nova got Jim Nance's tie because Jim Nance gave him his tie and put that tie on eBay and said, hey, here's the tie that Jim Nance gave me in San Antonio, and some nut job who's a basketball aficionado goes, I'll give you $2,000.
The kid would get in trouble, right?
Why? Someone gave him something that he – why?
I don't know.
But you're probably right.
I don't think they couldn't turn that into a way to get him in trouble.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure they would turn – they would see that and go
you
hit.
Got the tie based on your athletic blah, blah, blah.
And you profited. Let's go investigate DePaul. That's what would happen. Because yesterday, the NCAA launches an investigation against DePaul.
Really?
Yeah.
DePaul. A lot of stuff going on in
DePaul
Chicago.
Has won like six games since Mark Aguirre graduated in the 80s. God bless all of you for being college sports nuts. My livelihood appreciates it, but dear God, it's Mark Emmert.
Whew. But the people he answers to are still making money, so they're just, okay. Fine.
Hand over fist.
It's nuts.
There's a case that's going to trial soon. Chase and I were reading about it a little while ago. I'm not versed. I think I'm more versed in it than Chase is, and I'm not versed enough in it to really get into it here. We will try to find somebody who can. It's Jenkins versus NCAA. It could potentially change. If I'm reading it right, Chase, I read some of it out loud to you. It could, years from now, help the big boys split away from the little boys and form two separate leagues, which is frankly what needs to happen. Because I don't believe for a minute that the tournament is dependent on Maryland, Baltimore County, or Loyola. I think you could play a 64-team tournament that's almost all of the Power Five and everyone's watching because everyone's still going to bet on the damn thing. And the top teams will still rise. You'll still have a couple of Cinderellas.
I think Corey put the list out. Did you see where a basketball first school has won the national title every year since 99 except the Florida years?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
As long as you – I mean, a couple of schools in there, I guess you could nitpick, but a basketball first school pretty much every time except – because that's what's funny about it. Like, let me find the list. While, yeah, the big boys get picked off in the tournament every year, and that's what's fun, and Cinderella and whatever.
Yeah.
The big boys still win the thing more often than not. You know what I mean? Like, you still got one of the studs winning the tournament. I mean, it's a deal where, yeah, there's so many of them, of course they're going to not get knocked off at some time. Okay, for reference, here he goes. Back to 1999, here are the teams that have won the national title in basketball.
Okay.
Villanova, North Carolina, Villanova, Duke, UConn, Louisville, Kentucky, UConn, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Florida, North Carolina, UConn, Syracuse, Maryland, Duke, Michigan State, UConn.
Yeah, the only school in there that you could really question whether they're basketball first is Michigan State.
Yeah.
And Florida, obviously.
And in 2000, they were basketball first for sure. That's after Saban, before D'Antonio got going.
Yeah, but it was still a school where if you probably question their alums, what do you want to win in? They'd say football.
Oh, well, no doubt about that.
The others, like if you question Kentucky alums, what do you want to win in? Hoops. Yeah, we're offering you a football national. I don't care. I mean, you go to Duke and say, hey, we're going to let David Cutcliffe win the national championship. No, no, we're good. We'll take another one in hoops. Thank you.
So hold on a second. So you think if they said you can win the national title in basketball or football next year, they would choose basketball?
I do.
Even as many as they have, not to get another one in the other sport? Just
I do. That's where their pride thing is.
Because in their heads, I guess, it's, well, that's one more than Kentucky or North Carolina. Like, they would be saying, well, that gets us above them a little more or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the urinating match.
Yeah.
Don't you think if you know Kentucky people fairly well? Don't you think if you told Kentucky people,
oh, there's no doubt about that,
you can either have a football national championship, where that means you beat Alabama in Atlanta and go to the title game and win, or we're going to let Coach Cal put together a group of diaper dandies, baby, and they're going to win the whole thing. They can take basketball. 80-20.
Whew. It's probably a little high, but it's a majority. Yeah.
70-30. It will not be 51-49.
Clay Travis trying to carry his Twitter and radio day today with, what's the best program to have never won a consensus national title in either football or men's basketball? The replies are saying that the most likely answer is Oregon. That's a little new school, though.
Yeah, they've never won a consensus in football or men's basketball.
West Virginia, Illinois, Virginia Tech. I'm just kind of running down through the list.
It's kind of crazy that Illinois has never won something.
Yeah.
I'd have to give that some thought.
A vote in there for Missouri or Ole Miss as well. None of the football titles were consensus.
Oh.
Basketball hasn't been good enough to get them in. Football has, but Basketball hasn't been good enough to get them in it.
I guess it's a little bit. Missouri as basketball power is a nuanced thing.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
One that I'm not really ready to dive into right now.
Missouri?
Yeah, I'm just...
Oh, gosh.
Oklahoma State ever won a national title?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't think so. Henry Iba ever win the national title at Oklahoma State?
I don't know. You would be more well-versed on that than I would because you're older.
Well, they haven't done it in my lifetime. I just don't know if they've done it like back in the 50s or 40s or 60s. Did they win a...
Okay, Oklahoma State football. This will just take a second. I'm sure all of you guys are really, really interested. So
I don't know why I just thought of Oklahoma State. I was just going through my mind, Power Five schools.
They claim one national title in 1945 in football.
Okay.
But whether that's, let's see. No, that doesn't count. In October 2016, they were retroactively awarded the 1945 national championship by the American Football Coaches Association.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't count.
Bet that was a hell of a parade.
What do you do? I mean, do they give you a trophy?
I don't know.
That's like crystal and diamonds that says 1945 national titles on it? Where, you know, in 100 years, somebody comes in and looks at that thing and goes, that trophy was worth $7 million when it was given out.
I don't know.
Crazy. Auburn did that too, didn't they? Didn't they like add a couple national titles to their list?
Yeah. Well, Auburn and Alabama just every so often will just start adding titles to the list. Some cereal company gave Alabama a title and there's like...
Oklahoma State has NCAA basketball national championships in 1945 and 46.
Okay.
Back to back.
Well, there you go.
So they do not qualify for your
list.
The
mid-40s in Stillwater was a happening time, apparently.
Runner-up in 49, Final Fours, yeah. It's like Vanderbilt in the 1920s. Go look at that. They kicked everybody selling football. You go through the Ole Miss media guide, and it's like 1913, Vanderbilt 76-0. 1914, Vanderbilt 84-0.
Of course, Suwannee was good back then, too.
They were.
Yeah.
They really should have stayed in the SEC.
Probably wasn't a good call.
Tulane or Georgia Tech kicked themselves more?
Has to be Tulane, right?
Well, yeah, because Tech's at least in a conference that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, Tech survived that deal.
Would the SEC in today's world have a conference with Tulane and Vanderbilt?
If they were charter members, you can't.
I mean,
really,
I guess the ACC has Duke and Wake Forest and whatever. But
Tulane as an SEC program would be interesting, at least because of New Orleans and all that.
LSU wouldn't be LSU.
They'd have that. That would at least be a nuisance.
Well, because it's not like we're making them an SEC program today. They've been a program the entire time.
Yeah, no, they would. Tulane would get a lot of those New Orleans kids that LSU depends on.
Yeah, they would be a better Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I think so.
be a pain in Ole Miss's tail, State's tail.
Sure.
Be a problem.
Sure, be a pain in Alabama and Auburn's tail. Kids in Mobile, that would be 2 hours.
And would completely render, my opinion, just kind of thinking about this out loud, would completely render Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech irrelevant as mid-majors.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole South Alabama thing? Nah.
I mean, South Alabama, them kind of got, you know, some of that program was built off Southern struggling for those couple of years, you know.
Sure.
Because Jeff Bauer had kind of dominated that area in Hattiesburg.
Well, some people think they've kind of helped fuel the Southern Miss fall off.
Really?
Yeah. Kids from Mobile who didn't have Alabama and Auburn offers, they'd go to places like Southern Miss. Hattiesburg's quick. You can get there easily. Not as easily as you can get to USA.
Yeah. Take a break in today's show to tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape. 662-607-7773 is the phone number. MasterCutsLawn.com. Sign an annual contract now and get a free pressure washing of your driveway and sidewalks. They'll take care of your yard all year long with edging, trimming, cutting, pine straw, cleanup, and more there with Master Cuts. Again, 662-607-7773.
Taylor Zarzer will join us later this week. He'll join us via the Billy's Pecans hotline. Billy's Pecans knows the perfect crunch for every palate. So whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, or tokens of goodwill for a referral, Billy's Pecans can handle all of the details. From 5 to 5,000 orders, Billy's Pecans will handle it all with expertise and excellence, all with their signature Southern style, and with items at every price point, you simply can't choose wrong. Consider the assorted gift bags, the party trio, pecans and chocolate. And additionally, you can customize your packaging with your company or organization's logo affixed as a sticker to their round boxes, so your brand is front of mind and their decadent flavors are there to back it up. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, shipped fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans, and it couldn't be any more satisfying. It's billyspecans.com. That's B-I-L-L-I-E-S, pecans.com, or 1-800-624-7404. The podcast is also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando at 662-342-7700 or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today.
Podcast also brought to you by Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel, completely free service specializing in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations, taking the stress out of planning, take care of all dining, fast pass reservations, transportation, anything else related to your vacation, expert in getting you out of line and onto rides no matter the crowds. Mention the podcast and get a $25 Disney gift card for booking a vacation. You can contact him for a free, no obligation quote at Brandon at Keys, K-E-Y-S-2-T-O, dreamtravel.com or 901-634-8688. Seven. Yeah, I'm gonna have to look into it. What program is the best offer? That's not a bad topic. I'm sure he'll give me some idea later in later in the day to what the answer is. But not bad fluff for a Tuesday.
No, I mean Oregon. Given the investment, it's just they're just kind of new to the party. It's a lot of new money. It's
very new money. Yeah, that's West Virginia. if he'd told me their basketball program had won it sometime, okay. But you got to realize West Virginia, they haven't necessarily been in a big conference for years either. No. I mean, that's been an upstart program. In a way.
They did come one win away from the national title in football back in the day.
Were they the ones that lost to Pitt?
Played. Well, that's since then.
They played like 08 or
they once played. Yeah, but before that, they once played Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl, and had they won, they were the champs.
Oh, what year was that?
Let's see. I'll find it.
Making you Google a lot of things.
The quarterback was named Major Harris. I remember that, so I can tell you what year that was. Major Harris is now 50 years old. So he's 2 years older than me. His career ended in 2000. That's not right. Oh, let's see. He was a 1989 All-American, finished fifth and third in the Heisman Trophy voting in 88 and 89. So... I'm looking. So I think this would be his junior year. I don't know. I'm looking for it.
Late 80s. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
They were a win away.
Obviously, whatever time period of the week or weekend it is, when we talk to Taylor, we'll talk Masters. I'm sure that Tiger can get your attention this weekend now.
88.
Okay.
In 88, he directed West Virginia to the school's first ever undefeated, untied regular season and a matchup against number one ranked Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl for the national championship. They lost.
Okay.
Fighting Irish won 34-21.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's pretty close.
Two touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm just saying two touchdowns away from a national title is closer than most people get.
Yeah, it's fine. Are you going to watch the Masters?
I'll keep an eye on it, and then as it goes.
Just Tiger?
Primarily.
Maybe Phil?
I mean, if Phil gets going, I'm interested in it.
That's about it.
I mean, I'm interested in it. I just don't know who, like, I heard somebody talking about some guy from Alabama that's.
Justin Thomas?
Yeah, and I'm like, I wouldn't know Justin Thomas if he walked in the room.
From Louisville, one of your favorite places, played Alabama.
Yeah.
Mark Leishman and Kevin Chappell coming down the back nine on Sunday and probably not getting your juices flowing, if you will.
Is Kevin Chappell, is he Billy Chappell's son after everything worked out at the end of
nephew,
For Love of
I
the
think.
Game? Nephew?
He had a brother, yeah.
Well, that's at least a storyline.
Yeah.
It's at least a storyline that I'd be able to follow. I mean, it's the Masters. I'll have a passing interest in it. If Tiger's heavily involved at the end, I'll be really interested in it.
Tiger and Phil playing a practice round this morning at Augusta together. Phil wearing a button down during his practice round today.
Seems like that would be awkward.
I mean, I'm sure it's performance fabric or something.
Still.
Someone's paying him well probably to wear said button.
Yes,
down.
There's no question about that.
That, and he'll wear some belt with an animal that's like nearly extinct's hide on it. Let's see.
Phil's an interesting guy.
I get why people really, really like him, and I get why he can be bothersome for some people as well.
He doesn't bother me. I mean, he's getting money. He's a capitalist. Everything on his body is essentially for sale.
Yes.
And I'm good with that. I don't have a problem with that.
I mean, he's had an SEC investigation. He's bets on sporting events.
None of that phases me at all.
He's fairly obnoxious.
He is kind of obnoxious.
We've talked about this. I give him credit for his on-course persona, signing, pictures, everything he does with kids, because I've heard some golfers on different podcasts talk about this frustration. You neglect one kid over one day, and you get a reputation. To be the Phil or some of those guys, I mean, it's every single day, every moment kind of looking around to see what's going on in your environment. And I mean, that look, it's not a big deal. They're playing golf, making a lot of money. But it is interesting that it has to be a primary focus or you will develop a negative reputation for being personable.
I've watched it at Wrigley at times. Like, you know, Chris Bryant will come down and sign a bunch of autographs. But at some point, you have to stop. And where he stops, they're smart enough to let the security guard be the bad guy. But still, those kids, you know, those kids are like, well, he couldn't sign mine. And so some players are like, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I can't win. I get it. I mean, he's done some cool. Yeah, he's just, I don't know. The whole.
I mean, kind of coming full circle with the podcast today, talking about the story with Henry and everything. I mean, we had some of the media was talking about it Saturday after the Ole Miss game was Ole Miss baseball players signed to the autographs and pictures of every single game, no matter if they went 0-4 or lost 10-0 that day or whatever. And it was Run the Bases Day on Saturday and the Easter egg hunt. So there's Easter eggs all over the outfield at Swayze. They're running the bases, and all the players just go to the foul line and stand and wait for 15 minutes probably. And I thought, you know, the series is over. They get their night started early, the weekend. They get the free night, the free day the next day, and just kind of hanging out and patiently waiting. I mean, it's kind of been ingrained in them that that's just what we're doing here, and we're waiting, and we'll do it, and we'll smile, and we'll take our photos, and then we'll move on. I mean, I talked to Cooper Johnson. I talked to Colby Bortles yesterday about it, and they said, you know, most of them would do it anyway, but that it is a directive from Mike that that's how his program will be operated, and that it's from day one, it's what you're going to do is you have the uniform on.
Yeah.
So,
you know. And it's a little easier at that. I mean, I'm sure Saturday was kind of crazy, but it's a little easier to have that at the college level because you're not going to deal with some of the numbers that you're going to deal with. You know, if you're Phil Mickelson or Tiger Woods or someone.
Well, I mean, it's like on Sunday, Bo Hostler, golfer you would never know, he played at Texas. He lost. He got tied in regulation by Ian Poulter and then lost in a playoff. And the winner got into the Masters. The loser didn't. I mean, could have changed his entire career with a win. And he gets done, goes and signs his card, and then goes and signs autographs for 45 minutes, 20 minutes after he loses the playoff that kept him out of Augusta and away from a $1.3 million check with full PGA benefits.
Yeah, you know, the last thing he really wanted to do was go sign autographs. I'd want to go get in a car and, hey, go ahead and hand me that bottle. I don't need a glass.
Yeah. We're going to the airport, right? All right, cool. I'm not flying the plane. So.
No, yeah.
Gosh. All right.
I need to be sober enough to get through security, and then it's over.
I know a lot of talk on the board. I mean, forget specifics, but just kind of in general, have you been able to figure out some of what Kermit's plan is for recruiting through this period?
I mean, I really haven't yet because I haven't had a chance to sit down and talk to him. And so, you know, right now I think I wrote about this in 10 Thoughts a little bit. They're attacking it from a myriad of angles. They've got to re-recruit some of the kids on the team. You've got to prepare for the possibility that Terrence Davis leaves, even though it's not likely. You have to re-recruit the kids that Andy Kennedy signed. You're going to lose at least one of them, probably. You've got to finish that recruiting class, and then you've got to start getting into 19 and 20. I'm sure there is an organized plan, but I don't know enough about it to really opine on it because I haven't had a chance to talk to him. It appears that he is going to recruit the high-level player.
From a calendar standpoint, when does this start to crystallize?
I mean, there's a signing period coming up. There's a transfer period that's ongoing. A lot of those kids will start making decisions. I expect that they will have more than a toe dipped into those waters. And then in the fall, that's the first big benchmark is the fall. You'll start to see them put together their 19 class. Their 19 class is critical. Just critical, period. They know it. Everybody knows it. It was going to be critical for whoever was the head coach there, whether it was Kermit Davis or Andy Kennedy or anybody else, the 19 class was going to be critical just from a number standpoint. And so they're spending a lot of time working on it right now. Kermit will have a busy summer, I'll say that. There won't be a lot of time to chill.
Calkins and Jeffrey this morning still staying on the Penny train. They were talking to the creator of Little Penny today on the show.
Oh, he's been a massive hit from a commercial standpoint in Memphis which is predictable.
What if he can't coach?
Well, then they're in trouble.
I mean, he can't completely out-talent everyone.
No, they'll have to. He'll have to have some strategy. He'll have to have an organization. He'll have to have a really good staff. There'll be a lot of people that are going to have to help him.
Has he hired assistants yet?
I know Tony Matlock's one of them.
That's right, yeah. I forgot about that.
I guess they're still waiting on word on Larry Brown. If I'm Memphis, I don't know how I turn Larry Brown down. And I know he's got all the baggage, but Larry Brown also could really help him as a bench coach and as an organizer. And I'm guessing Tony Matlock learned a little bit about running practices and that kind of thing over the course of the month that he did it.
Yeah, Larry Brown probably knows one or two things about bags.
He knows a lot about bags. Well, man, listen. If Penny's going to run a bag-free program, they're not going to win. Keeping that real. That applies to everybody, by the way. It's not just a Memphis shot.
No, yeah, I know.
I mean, if four programs are recruiting you and one offers a big bag, that's probably where you're going.
If you get bored tonight and would like the baseball schedule for the SEC, a couple different decent games actually can be found on SEC Network Plus. Louisville is at Kentucky tonight. Two teams both just needing wins of any kind whatsoever. Florida Gulf Coast at Florida. North Carolina and South Carolina are playing in Charlotte, North Carolina at BB&T Ballpark. That is on SEC Network. Vanderbilt, Middle Tennessee in Murfreesboro. Georgia Tech at Georgia tonight in another SEC-ACC game. And then Houston at Texas A&M. Neils, Louisiana Monroe Warhawks at Arkansas.
How are the Warhawks doing?
I'll look in a second. And Nichols at LSU. Nichols already knocked off Mississippi State this season. So there is your update. The Louisiana Monroe Warhawks are 15-12 overall and 4-5 in the Sun Belt Conference.
4-5. Good for us.
They were coming off a 2-3 loss weekend to UT Arlington. They did take 2-3 from Arkansas State the weekend prior to that.
Yep. Boy, it's a big league, isn't it?
They are the better former Indians, right?
Yeah, they both used to be the Indians. Sure did.
So,
Warriors and Thunder tonight.
How are your Thunder?
They're the fifth seed right now. They're not good. They've not been remotely the same team since the Andre Roberson injury. They are the five seed right now, one half game out of the four. They're a half game behind San Antonio, but I think the Spurs own the tiebreaker. Houston's the one seed. Golden State's the two. Portland's going to be the three. And then there's kind of a jumble. San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Utah, Minnesota. New Orleans would be the eight right now. Denver's just a game back. Clippers are still in it, but they're running out of time.
God, what would the Pelicans be if they actually were healthy? Be pretty good, wouldn't they?
They're only two games out of the four, so they'd probably be the four.
Yeah.
Spurs are playing a lot better since, I guess Popovich sprinkled some magic or something. Go figure. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Warriors tonight, no Steph Curry. And
ankle?
Well, a knee now.
Oh, okay.
Going to miss the whole first round. This was interesting. There's a lot of teams that are sitting there thinking, maybe this isn't the wrong. This is, might not be the worst time to be the seventh seed. Get a shot at Golden State in the first round with no Curry. Durant's banged up. Thompson's banged up. Iguodala's banged up.
See what happens.
I know many of you already looking ahead to football season. It begins, obviously, in September, but it's not too early for you to start lining up your tailgating needs. 7 South Tailgating will take the work and stress out of tailgating. It's a premier service provider in one of the most tradition-rich tailgating spots in the country. It's owned and operated by two Ole Miss alumni, and they understand the importance of a game day done right. 7 South Tailgating is specialized to meet and exceed your exact needs in all areas of tailgating. Their desire is to take the work and stress out of tailgating and to enrich the already wonderful Grove experience. Get in touch with 7 South Tailgating at 7southtailgating.com. You can also call Kyle Thornton, 662-321-1682. Follow them on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting and understand your market. Also a leader in condo financing, and ask about the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704. JLOWE at communitymtg.com. Got a media availability with Mike Bianco later today. We've got football coming up as well. So another multi-sport week before it calms down. It's just baseball the rest of the way this semester.
Yeah, media op today with Matt Luke, and then another one on Thursday, and then we'll wrap it up on Saturday. And then football takes a little hiatus.
We'll do keys to the spring game for Mr. McCready later in the week here on the podcast. As he gives us his 15 keys to the game and 12 players to watch.
Yeah, 12 players.
Other than those two, he would not play. We already know that part. So
I wouldn't risk much with Jordan Tamu. And the first time somebody
– you can put a green jersey on him.
I know, but I'm worried somebody gets – if I'm them, I'm worried someone gets rolled up. Boy, it'd be super tempting to take the year of the fan thing and say let's let some fans play flag against us, have some fun. Totally serious.
You would have a lot of Matt Corral on the field.
Oh, he'd play a ton throwing to fans. Yes,
not AJ.
I know what everybody says. I'm just telling you, man. You remember this when the message board meltdown happens when someone gets hurt in a spring game? When everybody goes, you're a wuss, you're a whatever. When someone gets hurt in the spring game and there's this meltdown on the board, nobody's ever won a championship in the spring. Ole Miss plays Texas Tech in September. Absolutely nothing will happen Saturday that's going to impact that game in any form except an injury. Fair. And the whole, well, this is when you teach them how to get physical. No, that's what fall camp is. Fall camp's when you set that tone. Spring is, the NFL has many camps throughout the year. They don't even wear helmets in some of those. It's a mental thing. Learn how to read, what's your key.
Yeah. So, anyway, all right, we will be back tomorrow. We'll probably have a guest. I don't know who it'll be, but we'll have someone tomorrow. Got a couple ideas in my head, and then we will carry on through the week. Again, spring game, Mississippi State, Ole Miss baseball, and more on the site at rebelgrove.com. Talk to you tomorrow.